really loud. But so, thanks. Good morning, dearly beloved. I love the way old-time preachers used to say that because it's such a precious phrase, and it actually is one we should embrace. Dearly beloved, you are loved by God. Last week we talked about how do you know, hear the will of God, part of our You Asked For It series. How do you know how God is directing you and where you're going? And we ended off just briefly touching on how you personally hear God or recognize that he's talking to you. And so I wanted to give opportunity this week. I believe I heard from God during the week that we should have opportunity for a few us to share about that. I do have a regular full-length 45-minute special prepared, but we'll see if we get there. And when I started off speaking last week about what God wants for us, what his will is, what I wanted to reinforce, first and foremost, God actually just wants you. I think this picture sums it up well. Am I plugged in there, Bruce? Is the little doohickey in? Okay. Okay, if the first slide could come up. I think this slide captures what God wants of us. Little person, little us before the holy God saying, all I got is myself. And Jesus saying, yeah, that's all I want. He wants us. He wants us to know how wide and deep, wide and long, high and deep his love is. And that's what transforms people. That's what changes us. And then I cribbed straight from Alpha, guidelines to know God's will. And I think this is helpful. God has given us so much freedom in this world, but he's saying, here is the boundaries within which life truly exists. Don't stray outside of these, because outside these boundaries are unhelpful stuff. So he gave us five CSs. The first CS, commanding scripture. If you want to know what God's will is, it's going to be inside this. If you're deciding that maybe I should serve and worship another God, well, you can know that's out of bounds. God has said, worship the Lord your God and love him only. If you're feeling, you're wondering if it's God's will, if you should steal or murder, well, no, it's not. It's the commanding scriptures give a broad parameter of the safe guidelines of the playground for God's field. The second way he gives to guide us is the compelling Holy Spirit. If you belong to Jesus Christ, if you've given yourself to God, he puts his Holy Spirit in you. Father, Son, and Spirit come to live within every human being who gives himself to God. That's his precious gift, is of himself. And that Spirit guides us and creates within us desires for him. So we have the commanding scriptures, the compelling Spirit. A third and should absolutely not be overlooked is the counsel of the saints. Saints is another fancy word, not of saying of these few special holy people, but of everybody who's been called to follow Jesus Christ and God has Spirit in them. You're a saint. You're made holy by the presence of his Spirit. And if you're wondering, you've got a decision and you're wondering what God's will in your life, go use those resources available to you. If you're wondering what career you should take, what house you should buy, someone you should date, any of a number of choices you make in life, seek the wisdom out of those God has put around you. Bend their ears and say, what do you think? God has given us one another on purpose. Common sense. It actually is a gift of God to say, yeah, no, that's not reasonable. Oh, that is reasonable. Again, I love making illustrations about myself, but common sense would say I'm not called to be a sumo wrestler or a fighter pilot. I've had strong glasses since I was a kid. Common sense. And finally, circumstantial signs. God is the master of all chance and circumstance. He controls, he oversees sovereignly what happens in this world. And there are times when he uses circumstances to speak loudly and clearly to us. Circumstances that are speaking to us will never contradict commanding scripture, and usually they should line up with the counsel of wise saints too. So in that order, how to know God's will. But then the question of how do you yourself hear God? And it varies from person to person. And it's this grew out of a discussion I've had both with my wife, Cheryl, and with Pastor Bless this week, talking about various ways that God speaks to you. And so I'd like to give this opportunity. I'll speak a bit. But Bless was talking about how God talks to him, and I think my wife will do that. But how does God talk to you? Feel free to take the microphone, but let's start off with Bless. Bless, you were talking about some of the ways God talks to you and comforts you at times.
So I just wanted to confess, because some of the misconceptions as church ministers or staff or someone who is in authority seem to be kind of like up here and like always outgoing and like enthusiastic and all that stuff. But a lot of times, you know, we all have our own circumstances, and one of those circumstances is the stress and anxiety thoughts. And you know, I do get anxious a lot too sometimes. A lot of times I find myself being always on the go, you know, doing this and doing that under a timely manner, going here and going there a lot of times. But and I'm getting stressed a lot too, and so God works in mysterious ways I don't understand sometimes, and I personally experienced that, and it's something that I cannot explain fully. So one of the ways that I hear God is through scripture reading, and I do make the time to pray before I, you know, open up the Bible. And a lot of times God somehow, you know, turns me to certain scriptures that convict me, and what I mean by convicting is that it resonates with where I am in life, because he keeps reminding me of where I am in life, especially my identity in him. And so it, in response to that, it leaves me to open up myself and embrace that scripture by just pausing, and because a lot of times my mind is wandering out, you know, everywhere. And so when I pause and think about that, actually, it leaves in silence, especially in silence, God miraculously and mysteriously shows me, like, through the scripture, could be literally, or sometimes it could be like visions in my head. And so, yeah, that's one of the ways that God speaks to me. And you know, it's an amazing thing that God works in various ways for different people, but that's just my personal experience.
Thank you, Bless. Well, sure, because I think so Bless has talked about how the Spirit kind of can give him peace through scripture. Yes, other people are going to get to talk.
Somewhat. I'm not really reluctant to talk, but anyway, I have the way God speaks to me, honestly, I think is quite weird. Other people, I would like to be like more like other people, but this is the way it is. So God talks to me quite often through my body. So the other day I did something that the Holy Spirit didn't like, and I feel really sick to my stomach. So when I get that, like I feel nauseous, that means that's one way. And sometimes when God's affirming things to me, I have this involuntary head nodding thing I do, like that. So I mean, if you're bored in church, you can watch to see when somebody's talking if I'm nodding my head or not. And I do that quite often when I'm praying or when other people are praying, my head sort of nods. And then there's this sort of, sometimes thoughts come to my mind, ideas that I recognize as foreign to me, and that seem to align with scripture. So then I assume, oh, that must be God talking, because I wouldn't have thought of that myself. And then sometimes there's kind of a, like an energy thing. So like when I've read my Bible, like I would say a verse will jump out that's personal. It's supposed to be like a personal message to me. It kind of has energy around it. I don't know how to explain that other than talk about it that way. Or sometimes I have a sense of energy about something. God wants me to pay attention to something, so suddenly I'm drawn to it, and there's just sort of energy about it. And I don't know how else to explain it, because it's not anything I can really see, but it is kind of, it's a feeling thing. Anyway, so energy. Anyway, see, it's weird.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Now others, because I know what I'm hoping to get is open this up to recognize that that God speaks and communicates with each of us in different ways. Others of you who might want to share. Oh, hi. I didn't prep her. This is my daughter, Benita.
This is, like, really intimidating. But sometimes through, like, song, if I'm, like, you know, singing with everyone else, and then I'll, like, want to cry just because it's, like, really moving. Or sometimes I get, like, images in my head of, like, certain things that I want to pray about or that I'm already praying about. Yeah, sometimes I just, like, sort of like my mom. I mean, she's my mom. I get, like, a feeling that I really know, like, some things, like, I don't know how to explain it, but it just feels, like, clean compared to, like, other, you know, earthly human things that just feel like human dirtiness, stuff like that. Anyway.
Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. Others, how you sense that God is speaking to you. Just put your hand up and I'll give you a microphone so you can share. And if you'd like to share in Karen, Bless would love to translate for you as well. Desiree, thank you, brother. Yeah, so you got a strong, big voice, that's true.
Yeah, God speaks to us through dreams. So we read it in the Bible. It is there in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. But even in today's life as Christians, God is still talking to us through dreams. 1996, there was war where I was living. So I fled to Kenya from Congo. It used to be known as Zaire. The rest of my family, they went to Tanzania, yeah, including my big brother, Victor. He was a high school teacher at that time. I had just graduated from high school. So after 7 years in Kenya, I moved back to Tanzania, where Victor and the rest of my family were living in a refugee camp. So I had graduated from college in Nairobi, and I thought it was time for me to find a girl and get married. So I just asked my brother to be my reference, to be kind of an intermediary between me and the girls, one of the girls he taught in high school, because he knew them better. So he said, this is very easy. So I have a very good reputation here, so it is a very easy job for me. So he went and spoke to the first girl. She told him, I'm engaged. He went to the second one. She told him, I'm engaged. So in our tradition, we don't have engagement rings, just so you may know. So it is not like everyone will know that we're engaged because you are wearing a ring. We don't wear rings and we don't kneel down to ask for someone to be your fiancé. So after two failures, he remembered that he didn't pray. So he said, oh, what am I doing? I just accepted to do this job, and I didn't even ask God to guide me, the Holy Spirit. So he took 2 days of prayer and fasting. At the end of the second day, as he was sleeping in the middle of the night, he saw a dream. And in that dream, he saw a girl just coming to in her dream like this. She was smiling, she was wearing smart. And he was like, oh my God, how come I didn't think about talking to this girl about what Desiree asked me? And that girl was glorious. And he knew her, and he knew her family. And he used to go to eat, because Gloria's mother used to run a restaurant. He used to go to that restaurant. And he was a supervisor in an NGO. He used to give her a summer job. So they were very familiar. But when I asked him, he didn't think about her at all. Until the night when in a dream the Holy Spirit just showed him, this is the girl. And yeah, the next morning he went to find her. He talked about what I asked him to do. I have a little brother, is very serious and he's looking for a fiancé. I'd like to put you together just to ask, let you talk. And she said, okay, let him come, but first I will pray too and see if this is what God wants, and the rest is just history.
Amen. Thank you, Desiree. Glorios and Desiree brought together by prayer and fasting and dreams. Amen. We've heard the body, God speaks through the body and energy, through dreams, through the scripture, through giving peace. Others who may have a way that God, they find God speaks to them. Hi, Steve.
Well, I love to sing, I love to worship, and I think that's the way God kind of speaks to me. And sometimes instead of singing, I just sit back and I listen to the words of the song, and I think about my life and where it's going and how God's directing me, and is that what God really wants? Other times it's just by the circumstances of life that, you know, things kind of like an old saying, as the crumbs of the cookies fall, that's where.
So circumstances, and you are one of many who've spoken to through music and the words of music. How many of you hear God speaking through the songs that you sing? Yeah, amen. You can go out of here and you can say, you know, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Or those things sit in you and give you strength. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you,
brother. One or two more. Oh, yes. Hi, Corbin. Brother Corbin.
Yeah. If Bless wants to translate in Karen, that can also work. So one of my greatest, I guess, personal experiences when it comes to speaking with God is actually through life experience itself. And we'll take an example of what happened to me at work. So what I work with is paint thinner at Nichols Cabinets. And admittedly, one of the safety things that you should be doing when working with paint thinner is wearing goggles, right? And I was thinking out a scenario of, like, what happens if that gets on my face or my eyes? And like, I'm running through imaginary scenarios, right? Working with paint thinner, and I'm trying to fill up a bottle so I can clean out the recycling area. And surprisingly enough, not wearing my goggles, I get paint thinner on the whole side of my face. And of course, that kind of burns. But, you know, I'll get my eyes cleaned out, all this. And but it's one of those moments where, before it happened, I thought about it, I imagined it, thought up scenarios of what would happen when it does. It happens, and now I have to look back and reflect on it and think to myself, was this God's spirit talking to me, saying something bad's gonna happen? Maybe prepare yourself for it. And maybe my inability to discern whether that's God's spirit or myself thinking about it, I neglected the safety and protocols of my job and got paint thinner on the side of my face, some of it probably on my eyelids, not good, it burns. So looking back on it, maybe I should have listened, went back, got safety goggles, and maybe I wouldn't have been in the situation I was in. So in summary here, experiences through bad decisions.
Amen. I don't know how many of us can say, yes, we've heard God speaking both before and afterwards, saying, you know, it might have gone different. I'd also say, you know, that's probably also counsel of the saints. When you see those signs, you know, wear hard hats, put on your steel-toed boots, that's probably common sense, counsel of the saints, circumstantial signs afterwards. And did I see another hand? Hi, Andrew.
I think for me, I feel like I hear God when I talk to other people, and especially when I have discussions about things, and I like hear things I haven't thought of before, and it's kind of like Council of the Saints, but when I have a discussion with someone or a group of people, and someone just floats up an idea that, you know, is not orthodox or unorthodox in a sense that it's not really a regular thought idea, and it kind of makes you think about it. And so I guess in that sense, and then also I feel like when I read or listen to sermons, I feel like sometimes I get strong moral convictions, and I think that's the way that God speaks, is when he gets me fired up about something. But yeah, that's what I got.
Thank you. If it's burning, put your hand up now. Otherwise, we'll move on. If you've got a, you feel that God has to share with us. Oh, thank you. Do you want to share in Karen and have Pastor Bless translate for you? Or Kyoti or no? Okay, Pastor. Yeah, sorry. It's Bless. You're the default. If you wanna, this is our friend Lawashi. Now we pray for the miracle of translation. Bless you, Washi. Thank you, sister.
This is where I get to be creative and make a brief. So two things briefly. So Lawashi mentioned something about a particular morning when she was praying at 4 a.m. in the morning, really early, and the rest of her family was still asleep, and she was awake by herself, and she was praying, and it was a kind of a similar experience as what Cheryl described earlier about this body, like this reaction you have, like it's what your body. So when she was praying in silence, all of a sudden she went to vomit, and it's something that she kind of neglected it, but then the more she prayed, the more she went into vomit. And so then she vomited it, and then she couldn't sleep, so she kept turning around on her bed. And so that was the way, one of the ways that God spoke to her, and she reminding of her certain scriptures. And The other one is also a scripture where like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind, and strength. You know, it's easy for us to say we love you, God, like with our own lips, verbally, but like the heart condition, that part is the challenging part. And so, she remembered a scripture where when she was praying, God seeks those who worship Him through spirit and in truth. So that's something that she was convicted of herself when she was praying, and also she wants for all of us as we continue to worship, you know, where we are, and to worship with spirit and truth. This is one of those experiences where, yeah, when you open your heart, open up your hearts, and when you spend time in silence and in prayer, God will speak to you in mysterious ways that you don't understand.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Bless. Actually, you can take the battery out. We'll move on now. I don't know about you, but I find this very encouraging just to know that there just isn't one way that God treats us as individuals, speaks to us in a way that we understand through our body, through circumstances, through the intercession of a brother, through dreams, through the scriptures. What I hope we go away from is God is going to speak to you today, even now, as you've been listening to these words. He's living. He's real. Christianity is not just about showing up at church and doing things. Christianity is actually walking hand in hand with our brother, older brother, Lord Jesus, with our Father who loves us. Amen? Cheryl, I probably won't do my full sermon. This is going to be an introduction. So I just want to run a few little things by you. We'll touch on the beginning of 1 Peter, and then we'll leave it for another week. For me, only a couple of times has God ever spoken, wham, this is it. On the day I got saved, someone asked me if I wanted to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I felt a little voice in my head going, now is the time, now is the time. Not out loud, but boom, like this was it. The second time was about a year later. I'd gone for a prayer walk around the little neighborhood in Worcester where I was living, and I'd say, God, I'll do whatever you ask of me. And the tough one was for me, I said, I'll even move back to Ontario if it's your will. That seemed like death to me. And so I came in and sat down at the dining room table, and it was as though a giant hand was on my back, giant warm hand. And I remember sitting at the dining room table, my head went down lower and lower until my forehead was nearly touching the table. And I knew it was God, and I said, what do you want? What do you want? And in my head, I heard as clearly as day, not an out loud voice, but I just want you, Frankie. I just want you. And I opened my mouth and started to talk to him, and I was given the gift of tongues at that moment. I've had two other strong impressions. Once I was in the car with, I was a new Christian, and we had this false prophet who'd swept through our little church in Whistler, and we sort of found out the depth of his depravity later on. But I was going to go down, we're hitchhiking down to Vancouver, we're going to hitchhike down there and start preaching the gospel on the streets. And by the time we got to the Husky station in Whistler, I was just felt strongly, get out of the car, get out of the car. And so I did. And later on, we discovered what he was all about. And one of the final ones was 3.5 years of torturing my wife with on and off dating and breaking up with her in the mid-90s. In July of 1995, I was driving from Whistler, where I was working, back to Pemberton, where I was living. And my best friend was coming from Pemberton, where he was working, back to Whistler, where he was living. And we crossed paths right by Green Lake and pulled over to the side of the road, and I went up to Brian because the Holy Spirit had seized me. And I said, Brian, this week I'm going to ask Cheryl to marry me. And because he had released me at that time to stop jerking her chain around and actually commit. And but other than that, most of the time when I hear God speaking to me, it happens under that space that I don't know where you feel your conscience is. That place where you know right from wrong. For me, I think it's a truism. When God comes into our life, the Holy Spirit makes our conscience alive and gives us a little antenna for the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of where I sense him speaking to me most of the time, right under my little bald spot here. May God do the same for you. I want to leave you with a couple of scriptures about God speaking to you. Cheryl had mentioned this earlier. The prophet Elijah, Old Testament, 700 years before Jesus, had a great victory over the false prophets and the devil worshipers who were leading Israel astray. And God had provided a victory over them, but the wicked queen Jezebel said, "You're going to die." So in his fear, he ran away into the desert to meet God. And the story picks up in 1 Kings. Elijah's gone in a cave in the mountains. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a whisper. Some of your old translations may say, a still small voice. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God can scream to us through earthquakes and fire and wind, but he often speaks with a still small whisper. Tune your voice to his. When I put effort into listening, like if I want to listen to Cheryl or my daughters, one thing that's really helpful is to turn off the TV, put down the phone, stop playing cards, and pay attention. One of the ways that God speaks to us is when we clear the decks to pay a little attention to him. When speaking to Israel through the prophet Jeremiah, God said this, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart, when you tune your ears and want to hear me speak, then you will hear me." Jeremiah 29:13. Speaking to Isaiah, he also said this about the direction he gives. "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" God wants to give his children, that's you and me, wise and good direction, and he will speak to you today, perhaps even through what you've heard now, perhaps even through the songs we're going to sing. Cheryl and worship team, I think if you'd come up, I have a whole sermon on 1 Peter that we will get to in a couple of weeks. I'm going to pray for you as they come up. Lord, these are your children. These, Lord Jesus, you've said, are your brothers and sisters, your family. I pray that today you'd give each and every one of us, motivate us by your Spirit to just clear that space to hear from you, even now through the words of these songs, that they'd go deep into our heart and speak of your love and care for us. We need to hear from you, God. So in the name of Jesus, I ask, speak to my friends. Amen.